Oh, excuse me. Let's pray as we come to dwelling on God's word a bit more this morning. Gracious Lord, we pray that you would sustain my voice, but more than that, you would, and through that, you would help us all to hear the words you would speak to us today and help us to put them into practice in our own lives to bring you glory and honour, for we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder what you want to be when you grow up. I'll give you a few minutes to think about that answer for yourselves. Here's what a few people had to say during the week. It's not always an easy question to answer, is it? I wonder what you want to be, what you wanted to be when you grew up, or what you want to be when you grow up. Of course, it's a question that takes on a lot of significance for those who are in year 11 or 12, doesn't it? Particularly around this time of year when they struggle to ask that question, because it drives what subjects they'll study and whether they'll apply for university and what degree and even where they might choose to study. But it's not just in those kind of one or two really particular years that we ask that question, is it? All through our childhood, people ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? And as you can see, even little kids can have an answer for that, although I'm sure if you ask Micah and Joshua today, they might give a different answer than strong man or clown. All through childhood, we dream about what we might be when we grow up. But even after we pass through childhood and make those decisions in year 11 and 12, it's still a question that sits with us, doesn't it? As we saw in the video, even those who are a bit more grown up still might struggle to come to an answer for what they want to be when they grow up. And I'm sure, like me, you know plenty of people who've changed their minds even after they've started working or seem to have made those decisions. People who chop and change degrees at uni or who change jobs or careers. It used to be that once you found a job, you stayed in it till you retired. I read some research this week that said that that in Australia now, if you stay in the same job for 5 years, that's considered a long time. The average is now more like 2 years, which is pretty shocking. It's partly because of how difficult it is to answer that question, what do you want to be when you grow up? So we keep searching for the right answer. Thankfully, there's no shortage of advice for us to help us clarify what we should be. We might have parents or friends or family kind of offering their suggestions, helpful or not, as to what we should be when we grow up. And there's career counsellors and personality tests and all sorts of tools that'll help us work out what our ideal job is. Well, what about God? What does he have to say about it? What does God want us to be? Where would you look to find that answer? This one's not a rhetorical question. Where would you look to find the answer of what God wants us to be? Thank you. Good. A few people remember the Sunday school answers of Jesus, God, and the Bible. Where in the Bible would you look? Where's the first place you'd think of looking of what God wants us to be? Genesis. Look at. Anyone would think you were prepared. Let's go to the start of the Bible, to Genesis 1, and see what God says.
Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth."
Great. Well, as you look at this passage, as we think about it together, what role does God appear to have in store for us? Have dominion? Yeah, but that's a... It's not a particular role. I don't think you'd ever apply to have dominion. To be like him, yeah. Getting closer, maybe.
To make more people.
To make more people. To be fruitful and multiply. Sure. It might not be so clear because of the way that the NRSV has chosen to translate a particular word. That word that comes across as dominion. That same word can be translated as reign or rule. It's a bit unfortunate the NRSV chooses to translate it this way, because we shy away from the idea of dominion or domination, don't we? It has so many negative connotations in our world. It speaks of abuse or mistreatment. We mightn't like the idea of human beings told to dominate the world. But we mustn't let our preconceptions cloud our view of what the kind of rule that God has in mind, the kinds of rulers he wants us to be. God instructs Adam and Eve to rule over a garden. And if you've ever spent any time in a garden, you'll know that you can't be a dominant or tyrannical gardener. You can't force a garden to produce whatever you want without caring for it or nurturing it. If you try and be a tyrannical gardener, you'll most likely end up with a wilderness. God made us to rule over creation, to care for it, to see it flourish, and to make it fruitful. The kinds of rulers God wants us to be is the kind of ruler he is. Kind and benevolent and nurturing. This is our first point, that God wants us, God created us to be rulers in his image. We're to reflect the Creator to his creation. Of course, if we're going to do that, we need to be in a right relationship with God, don't we? How else can we reflect? How can we reflect what we don't know ourselves? How can we be God's rulers in the world if we're not placing ourselves under God's rule? That's precisely what we failed to do in the fall, isn't it? In Genesis 3, we read of how we abused the authority that had been delegated to us, and how as a result we, and indeed all of creation, suffers. But just because the image of God in us has been marred, that doesn't mean that his ideal has been lost. In passages like Psalm 8, we see that ideal of human beings as rulers under God still held out. Our vocation still stands. And indeed, what we see is in the unfolding story of the Bible, God beginning with Abraham and his family, and then with the nation of Israel to call out a people who are meant to live out that vocation, to be rulers in his name, demonstrating to the world what it looks like to be rulers in God's name. Of course, because of sin, we know that they could never perfectly live up to it. They could never perfectly fulfill the vocation that God called them to. I know how you feel, Lucky. That is, until God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus, who is perfectly human, yet without sin, who's able to show us what it looks like to carry out the role that God created us to be. He shows us what God's plan for our lives looks like, obedient humans acting as stewards over creation, bringing new creation to birth and gathering the praises of creation to its maker. The surprising thing is, when Jesus comes, though, he doesn't just come and take over and say, look, God intended humanity to be rulers over the world. You've mucked it up. I'm going to step in and take over. Leave it to me. I'll do it all. No, straight away, Jesus invites us to share that responsibility again. Paul writes about this extensively in the book of Romans, how through Jesus, God's plan has been put back on track, that all that we lost through sin and the fall, we can now partake in again through Christ. Hear these words from Romans 5:17.
If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
Paul points out that what we lost through Adam and Eve's sin, we can partake again through Christ. We can again exercise dominion in life through when we're unified with Christ. And so that's the picture we see at the end of the Bible. If we looked before at Genesis and saw the way God created the world and what he intended for us to be, what do we see when we look at Revelation, when we take a sneak peek at how things work out?
But the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
What's the picture we have at the end? It's of us ruling with Christ. How incredible, how amazing is that? That in heaven we get to share in God's reign. That as God is glorified, so too will we. We get to share, we too are glorified. We will reign with him forever and ever. Do you notice in that passage of Revelation, though, what our other role is? Janet, worship? Thank you. It's to worship. God doesn't just intend us to be rulers, but also to be priests, to gather up the worship of creation and present it before its creator. Just as we're called to reflect the creator to his creation, we're also called to reflect creation back to its creator. God wants us to be, God's created us to be intermediaries between him and his world. This isn't something new, something that we find just slipped in the end there in Revelation. Jewish tradition holds that it's back there in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, like me, you might not see that at first glance, but it's still obvious early on in the Bible. Listen to what God says to Israel after he's rescued them from Egypt.
Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation.
They're to be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. Not just rulers, but also priests. Peter reflects this in the reading we had before. In case you've forgotten, hear again these words from 1 Peter 2.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
God has chosen us to be priests and rulers. Indeed, to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You can't get much better than that in terms of what you want to be when you grow up. To be a royal priesthood and a holy nation in God's kingdom. I can't think of any job that would be better than that one. We shouldn't neglect here, just in passing, to notice that this is something we're called to together. It's not just each individual's job, but something we're called to as a people. We're a holy nation and a kingdom of priests. A royal priesthood and a holy nation, God's own people. It's something that we work out together, something that we express and do together. I want to go back to the question I asked at the start. What do you want to be when you grow up? Once you've answered that question, we automatically start working backwards, don't we? Working out all the steps we need to do in order to get there. So if you want to be a teacher, as some of the people on the video said, well, you know that you've got to go to university. You've got to study teaching and pick some subjects and then probably do a student placement in a school and then get a job. If you want to be a doctor, it's a bit more complicated. You know, you've got to go to uni and study medicine and do an internship and then a residency and then some specialist vocational training and then probably a whole bunch of other steps that I have no idea about. If God wants us to be priests and rulers, if that's what his goal for humanity is, then what do we need to do now to prepare? How can we start living out our lives as priests and rulers in God's kingdom today? This is what we've been talking about over the last few weeks as we've started our series on virtue, about having our character transformed. You might remember Chris spelled out the steps for us last week, that transforming our character or developing virtue starts with having the right goal. Then we need to work out the steps that we need to get there, and then make sure that those steps become habitual, a matter of second nature. God's goal for humanity is that we be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we be rulers and priests in his world and his kingdom. So what does that mean for us now? What are the steps we need to do to get there, to start living that out here and now? I mean, is it that when I do this, always more awkward than it feels. There we go. That when I do that, I'm somehow closer to God's ideal for us. I'm a bit closer to God than the rest of you. Or is it that Chris, I, Michael, John, Neil, we've chosen the right vocation, or at least half of the right vocation in being priests? Well, no. God doesn't intend us all to become Anglican priests. You shouldn't have made me laugh, Fiona. The reality is, though, we're all priests already. We're a kingdom of royal priests. This goes deeper than any individual vocation we might have. You might say that being a doctor or a teacher or a vet or a ballerina is just a secondary vocation. What we're really called to be is a royal priesthood and a holy nation, all of us. Again, how can we start exercising our priestly rule in the way God intends? Part of it is in just understanding the kinds of priests and rulers he wants us to be. Getting clear, as we've said, what it means to rule. Not the way our world thinks about ruling, but the way God thinks about ruling. As we said 2 weeks ago, it's about following Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. To use his power and authority to care for others, and not to get out of this world what he could for himself. There are a whole bunch of other ways you might think of that we could start living out as priests and rulers in our day-to-day lives. I'm going to share just a few quick ones and leave you to think about some others. First, as I've said before, is we need to make sure we're in a right relationship with God. How can we be intermediaries between God and his creation if we don't know God? We need to be people who are in tune with God first and foremost. And if God designed us to be the pinnacle of creation, those who speak for creation, who gather up the praise and worship of creation, then shouldn't we be regular at gathering together to worship God here and now? In some ways, I know I'm preaching to the choir because you've all turned up today, which is great. But it's not just about turning up every Sunday. It's about the attitude that's in our heart when we come to worship. So whether we follow the set liturgy or use new words as we've done a bit today, we need to make sure we do so with devoted hearts and minds. Here's another way we can start living out as priests and rulers, and it's about how we can live our own lives. If we were to turn back to Romans 5:17, that verse we read out before, you might remember the line that Paul said, that death has exercised dominion over us. Elsewhere in Romans, Paul talks about that we've been previously ruled by our fleshly desires. What a complete inversion of God's plan for the world. We're meant to rule over creation. Instead, we let the one bit of creation that we have complete control over, our own bodies, to rule over us. So in Romans, Paul calls us to, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, and through the power of the Spirit to start living for Christ. We begin exercising God's rule over the world by exercising rule and control over our own body and our own desires, seeking to live holy lives before God. But that rule over the world extends beyond our own bodies, doesn't it? So as we live out our lives here and now, we should not forget God's mandate to rule or care for creation. That might impact the way we choose to live and what we choose to buy or what we choose to do. Making choices to not exploit creation but to nurture and care for it. Could be something as simple as choosing to buy the more expensive eggs in the supermarket. Or buying fair trade. Or any other number of ecological concerns or decisions we might make. Choosing to care for God's world and not to exploit it for our own ends. One more final point from me, I think, before my voice packs it in for this morning. And that's to turn back. There's another hint of what living as a royal priesthood might look for us a little bit further on in Romans 8, 18 to 25. You might like to look it up this afternoon. But in this extraordinary passage, Paul says that creation itself is groaning and longing for our glorification. The time when the world will be put right. And Paul goes on to say that we too are groaning in and through the Spirit while we wait for our glorification. The kind of groaning and moaning Paul's talking about is not the groaning and moaning I've been doing over the last few days, but that deep, earnest prayer. Paul says we fulfill our role as priests, interceding before God on behalf, not just for our own sake, but on behalf of all creation. Wonder how that might shape your prayers this week. Praying not just for yourself or those around you, but praying for the whole world. Not just the peoples of the world, but the world itself. Interceding on behalf of the world before God, as we're called to do as priests and rulers in God's kingdom. I'm sure you'll be able to think of more implications, more ways we can start living out as priests and rulers in God's world today, here and now. And we'll be looking at some more ways in coming weeks as we continue working through this series on virtue. But as God's chosen royal priesthood, we're to rule in God's place, carrying out the work of tending creation, of creating new things, so that God's plan for creation might be fulfilled, that his purposes will be worked out in the world. That his purposes for the world will be worked out as we rule it in his place. And we're to carry the praise and worship of creation back to its creator, to lead creation in worshipping God so that God might be glorified as he deserves. Let's pray that God helps us to be priests and rulers in his kingdom and in his world today. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have chosen us, that you have destined us for great things, to be priests and rulers in your kingdom and in your world. Father, although we lost that through the fall, we thank you that in Jesus we can once again be what you called us to be. We pray that as we live out our lives today, you give us wisdom and insight and power through your Spirit to know what it means to live as priests and rulers today, to care for your world, to care for those in your world, to intercede on behalf of the world, to intercede on behalf of the other people in your world, and to proclaim your kingdom to all the world and to all the people of the world. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.